from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Larry Kudlow. It is great to be with you. We got to do some stock market work. By the way, join us during the week. Fox Business Network, FBN, 4 to 5 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. The name of the show is Kudlow. And by the way, you can live stream us here on the Internet all across the country and around the world and throughout the solar system. That's LarryKudlowShow.com. A lot of takers around the solar system. In fact, some of the things we're covering today reminds me of the solar system. Anyway, we're going to do some stock market work. We've got Nancy Tengler, CEO and Chief Investment Officer of Lafford Tengler Investments. And we've got Jack Baruzian, Chairman of the Global Smart Commodity Group. So, kids, very interesting, big week. Dow's up 4%, 1,345. NASDAQ up 8%. Wow. 848 points. A lot of that came on Thursday. I think it was Thursday. Was it Thursday? I think it was Thursday. I think that's because they figured out the GOP was going to take over the House for sure. Not everyone agrees with that point of view. But also, we got a little lighter CPI number. So let's dig right in on this, Nancy Tengler. What's going on here? And by the way, one more point. We were just talking before the break about the cryptocurrency breakdown. What a great story. But it did not affect the banking system at all, which is a sign of strength for our whole situation, our whole story. So anyway, cryptos, Bitcoin went down 21%. But we're still alive. We are solvent, as my pal Jimmy Rogers used to say. What do you think, Nancy Tengler?
Well, that was a great segment, by the way, and a great show. And hello to Jack. So I think a couple of things, Larry. This has been an extraordinarily volatile year. We've had 88% of the days where the S&P 500 has traded, volatility has traded up above 1% in either direction. And so it's hard to draw conclusions in the near term. I think the market began sniffing out divided government earlier in October, toward the end of October. And then I think what we're seeing now is the CPI number, yep, it wasn't as bad as it was expected. We still have a big battle on our hands. And there are a lot of anomalies in that number, one of which was healthcare. We were actually, it has a 10-month lag, so we were measuring healthcare in 2021 in the recent numbers that was pent-up demand from 2020. So, you know, once you back all this out, you say, okay, well, we did hit peak inflation in June at 9.1 or 2%. That's our view. And that has always been a good time to buy stocks. Usually after that, they're up somewhere over 18% in the next 12 months. So you have to be very careful and nimble at how you go in there. We do need to see, you know, I have the dubious honor in living in Arizona and Nevada where they can't count votes in either state. So we need to see. We need to see. Yeah, it's just shameful, but we need to see, you know, that finalized. Laxalt's lead has been marginalized to like 0.1%, with 95% of the votes coming in. So we just have to see what the balance of power is finally and ultimately going to reflect. But I do think the market is sensitive to that, and many people don't agree with that. But in the near term, last thing I'll say, it's the algos driving, they own short-term volatility, and that provides opportunities for folks like us who can go in and buy stocks at or sell them at inflated or reduced prices.
But Nancy, let me just follow up. So you have places in Nevada and Arizona. Why can't they vote? I mean, I'm sorry. Why can't they count the votes? Is it because they can't count, or is it because there are other issues? I mean, you know, this woman who's running for governor, and that's still a tough race against Carrie, who's a whatsy, but...
Katie Dobbs.
So she's the Secretary of State. So she's in charge of the election, even though she's running for governor, which I think is a bad thing to begin with. But what is it? They don't know how to count? They don't know arithmetic? Or they don't work hard? Or what is it? Because it's holding up the whole country.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of all of those things, plus the fact that in Arizona, they do not count mail-in ballots until the day of the election. That's an actual state law. Mm. So you have, you know, I mean, look at the labor problems we have in the rest of the economy. This is not necessarily the tip top of the labor force. You know, these are people who have time on their hands and gratefully are willing to donate it. But I think you have to step back and say, if this happens every election, which it has for a number of elections, either there's something very wrong with the process and, you know, the county supervisors have been embarrassingly incompetent and they oversaw, you know, oversee this, or there's corruption of some sort. And I just think we have to say that out loud and be willing to fix it. In Nevada, this is my first time voting here. I don't know. But my experience in Arizona has been choppy at best. Both many of the times I voted.
Jack Barushin, let me ask you something different. The M2 money supply has crashed, okay? About, I don't know, 15, 18 months ago, it was growing close to 30% year on year. Now it's, I don't know, zero or even negative. Now my monetarist friends, and I have a little monetarist blood in me, but I'm not quite as confident as they are, but nonetheless, some people like Steve Hanke and others are saying that's a big thing and it is going to bring down inflation with a year's lag or so, but it's also going to bring down the entire economy. You can't go from plus 30 to zero and not have bad impacts. What do you think of that article, about that argument?
We're already seeing it, Larry. We're seeing it with consumer sentiment. We're seeing it with what's happening in the housing market. You're seeing it in all the little ancillary markets around stocks and bonds. So, you know, we're experiencing it. Look at the commodity markets. You know, everybody talks about commodity inflation. Well, I was with you a year ago on your show talking about the backwardation that we were seeing in these markets. And sure enough, we're looking at that now. So all of a sudden, these input costs for these producers are a lot less. There's a lot less money circulating. Now, on the one hand, that's good because there was way too much out there. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, and, you know, the problem is that there's going to be a lot of suffering. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, you see this rally and you've got to say to yourself, as somebody who's been around these markets for a while, that, you know, this was a classic bear market rally. I mean, if you look in the dictionary of trading, it says bear market rallies are fast and vicious. And if you're short, they tear your heart out. And that's exactly what this week was. And, you know, when I talk to younger traders, they turn to me and they tell me, oh, the Fed's going to pivot. That's one of the reasons they're buying stocks. And I think to myself, you're buying stocks in your portfolio because you think that the Cassandra, the soothsayer of doom, who just came out and told you that he's going to continue to raise rates, is going to pivot. See, that to me is ridiculous. That to me tells me that people have become conditioned to a Federal Reserve that comes out there to their rescue and just floods the system with cash whenever they need it. And that's the problem that we have with this last rally and the problem that I'm having with the market over the course of these last few months. Until we have a Federal Reserve that says to us, job is done. We already see it. One number does not do that. We need a couple of good CPI numbers for us to actually start to feel that effect hit the market. But the problem is what you just brought up. It might be too much at that point.
Well, just saying. I mean, first of all, 7.7% inflation, I think, is still a high number. Now, the so-called core inflation, which is kind of a bogus thing, but that's at 6% for the last 3 months and 6.3% for the last 12 months. So that's three times the Fed's target of 2. Food, just looking at that, Nancy, food is up 9.1 over the past 3 months at an annual rate, and food is up 10.9 for the 12 months. So I wouldn't exactly go screaming like a banshee that inflation is over and the Fed's going to pivot and they're going to stop tightening rates. I mean, I'm just saying, I could be wrong. I mean, this doesn't seem to me. I've tossed it out to both of you. I mean, what? Yeah. Really? The tightening is over? This is nirvana because food prices are up 9. No, I just called 11% for the last 12 months. What a wonderful number, 11%, and that's not inflation?
No, I totally agree, and Jack brings up an excellent point on traders that are younger and haven't been through this before. But at the margin, I think we will see a decrease, although, you know, the Cleveland Fed is showing core CPI, well, let's use PCE because that's what the Fed uses, rising from October to November.
Right.
10 basis points. Yeah. So, I mean, it's very choppy, but historically there's been a symmetrical relationship between inflation rising and inflation declining. And it took us 16 months. I think the data goes back to 1951. And it's not perfect. It's not a perfectly symmetrical relationship. But you do see a pretty strong case for, you know, counting the number of months that inflation has gone up. So it took us 16 months to get from zero to where we are now. And then, you know, we began to turn over. And so I don't think it's going to be easy. And I don't think the Fed's ever going to get, at least in the near term, back to 2%. I think we're going to be at higher levels for much longer for many of the reasons that we all know. But it doesn't mean that you can't find places to make money in stocks and bonds. And so that's what we've been doing, is trying to root around. But yeah, you're right. It's going to be ugly for a long time. And declaring victory is a fool's errand.
Yeah, I think so. All right, let's take a quick break. We got Nancy Tengler from Laffer Tengler Investments, Jack Berusian, Global Smart Commodity Group. I'm Kudlow. I still want to know, does the money supply matter? I mean, I don't know. It just kind of looks ugly. Anyway, we'll be right back. We may talk some crypto, too, on the other side of the break.
Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We are here talking stocks with Nancy Tengler of Laffer Tengler Investments and Jack Berusian of the Global Smart Commodity Group. Kids, I don't want to obsess about this. I just want to know one more pass. Does it matter that M2 has collapsed from plus 30 to, I'm going to say, zero, even though I think it's minus? Does that matter? I mean, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. What do you think, Jack?
I don't think it matters right now. I don't think you have to worry about the system seizing or anything of that sort. But what you do have is the Fed that is now curtailing their balance sheet. You have headwinds for money supply. So, again, I don't think we're feeling that stress yet. But if we start to see it, it would more than likely be in the credit markets.
What do you think, Nancy?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Jack's right on that aspect of it. I also think it does have a correlation to inflation. I mean, if you looked at 2020, it was up, money supply was up 25%. It was up 12%, I think, in 21. Mm-hmm. And now it's basically flat or negative. And so I think, you know, with the 1 year lag, it will provide some at least release on inflation. But, you know, we got to watch it closely and we got to see how fast the Fed continues to QT.
QT. Quantitative tightening. Jack Berusian, what would you like to see as a signal or indicator that the bear market is turning into a new bull market? What would you need to see?
I'd need to see some of the prosperity killers that are out there, as Nancy knows very well, that Dr. Art Laffer taught us about. You know, we've got inflation. We have got, regulation. We have got higher taxes. We've got everything that, in my mind, is a headwind until we start to see some of that dissipate. And we might have seen the beginning of it with this midterm election, which is one of the reasons that people started to feel a little better about taking risk in the markets. But until we start to see that change, then we're going to have problems with the market continually going higher. It's become a psychological problem at this point, Larry. I think, you know, people have become so accustomed to buying every dip that they have to understand that there are times the market needs to heal itself. And this is one of those times. So it might be a little longer and it might be a lot more painful than people expect.
Nancy, what would you like to see?
Yeah, I'd like to see what happens in the lame duck session. You know, President Biden viewed this election as a mandate, and so we'll see what they try to cram through. If they increase stimmy checks via the child tax credit, which he wants to do, if the loan forgiveness goes through, then I think the inflation battle is going to take a lot longer. I also think, you know, we need to see from, you know, the Fed's dot plot last September didn't show, and it wasn't even a majority, didn't show rates rising above 1% until 2024. Huh. I wrote a piece recently called The Savant Idiot at the Federal Reserve. This is a Joseph Epstein coin of phrase, but someone who's who's learned, brainy, brilliant, even, but gets everything important wrong. And I think, you know, because we know that that's what's happened, it's difficult to make sense of the mixed messaging that's coming out. So we saw in the statement that the Fed gave a nod to the lag in monetary policy. Then he came out, you know, super hawkish. But now we're starting to see the other members come out and moderate and say, you know, maybe it's time to pause. Now, a pause doesn't mean a pivot for sure. But I think letting the market digest some of this will also be very positive because earnings have, I mean, there have been many disappointments, but there have also been companies that have announced beats and raising guidance in 2023. Mm-hmm. So it's, you have to be very selective where you're focused. And you know, that's what we'll be looking for is when the Fed gets the message.
You know, these Fed guys in unison, they just keep yapping out there. They think they're all bucking for cable talk show hosts or something. You know, I mean, look, we can, a good cable talk show host can, you know, be irresponsible. But the Federal Reserve president's not supposed to be irresponsible. That's all I'll say.
You know, a lot of this can change, Larry, within the next couple of weeks if we see Congress flip. You know, and Nancy, it's a shame you're not in Illinois where we count real fast. In fact, we count five times over. You know, so it's amazing. You know, they call the races here before they're even done. So that's the way we do them here. But we can see things change dramatically. Look, if we see a Republican Congress, you've got a president that wants to leave a legacy of being able to work and leave some lasting legislation. He's not going to get anything done unless he works with that Republican Congress. So again, I think these next couple of weeks could be very telling.
By the way, he has said, and it was corroborated, they didn't walk it back, that they want a permitting bill to take the handcuffs off oil and gas production. He said that. This is like Joe Manchin 5.0 or whatever. I don't know if I believe a word of it, and I don't know what bill they're talking about. And so if they want to spend a lot of money, they're going to have a hard time doing it. But it'll be a couple of weeks. I mean, a permitting bill would be, you know, mildly bullish, it seems to me. I wouldn't discount that. But I'm always looking for a turning point. I mean, what are we missing, kids? You know what I mean? It's like, we've been around all this. What are we missing? And that's why I come back to this M2 stuff, because I don't think you should rely on M2. But there's some weird thing going on here. Maybe it's because federal spending has temporarily slowed. And maybe federal spending is going to pick up again because of all these bills and the Green New Deals. And that's going to drive M2 up again. I don't know. But it just seems like something's going on to go from plus 30 to zero in a year. I don't know. I just think I don't want to obsess about it, but I guess I am obsessing about it.
Well, but Larry, remember, we've had the printing presses running at full tilt now for a long time. So, you know, I think just to see that, I think is surprising on surface. But when you take a step back and understand where we were, what we did, and what's happening, I think it's a little bit more digestible, especially for the economists out there that I've talked to.
I don't know. I mean, again, we're probably spending way too much time on it, but it could be predicting back in the 60s and 70s, the heyday of monetarism, if you saw that kind of move, Nancy Tengler, you would say two things. First, we're going into a very deep recession because nominal GDP will be crushed. And second, following that, we will end inflation. You would say that. Now, those models haven't worked that way in a long time, although briefly, from the pandemic spending to the money supply, it has worked in the last 2 years. I'm just saying, keep an eye on them too. Ed Hyman's watching it. Steve Hanke's watching it. I don't know. It's just something. It's not irrelevant. Yeah. Bullish or bearish?
A lot of things.
Bullish or bearish, Nancy? Come on. Bullish or bearish?
Selectively bullish, yep. And adding ladders, bond ladders to our portfolios for the first time in 2 years.
Bond ladder. So the 10-year, let's see, 381, that dropped 35 basis points last week.
Yeah.
That's some more insanity. Yeah. 381 down 35 basis points. All right, bond ladder. Jack Brugian, you ready to buy Bitcoin back? Buy crypto?
Yeah. If I buy Bitcoin at all, it'll be in a regulated exchange. It'll be a derivative of Bitcoin, either over at the CME or I'll be doing BITO over at on the New York Stock Exchange. But I wouldn't touch anything in an unregulated environment with these crypto. Who knows what you're getting? Who knows what they're doing with this money? There is no accountability. We have to get our arms and hands around this. This is a monster. It's a leviathan, and it's only going to get worse unless we do something about it. And people are going to get hurt. We've already seen destruction of wealth, especially with people that are under 35. Like I've never seen before. Maybe the dot-com bubble is probably the closest thing that I can come to it. But we need to get our arms around that. But if you're going back to the original question, the only way I would even touch any of those products is in a regulated environment in which they trade.
Bitcoin is down 64% year to date. That's very cool. But I'll tell you, one guy, he was worth $32 billion, and now he's worth zero. That's not too good.
Right.
Nancy Tengler, Jack Perugin, that'll be my last word, $32 billion to zero in just a week's time, I think. I'm Kudlow. We'll have money and politics on the other side of the break. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.